Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For our radio audience tuning in at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, tuning in to online affiliates through our podcast, we're glad you all could be with us as well. A lot of times when we hear about heinous acts that are taking place, we don't normally have something to connect it to. It's just a name and a face we may see on television, a name we hear on the radio, or it may be a statistic that we hear. But our next guest has been able to live a situation that none of us hope that we find ourselves in, but he's been able to share his own story with us, but also how he's been able to heal along the way as well. We're excited to welcome Reginald R. Reed Jr. to our broadcast today. Reginald's the author of a powerful new book called The Day My Mother Never Came Home. We're going to talk to Reginald not only about what it's been like for him to reflect on his own life and some dark chapters of his family's journey, but also what it's been like for him to come out on the other side to be able to help others and also to find healing for himself. If you're just now finding out about the book, we'll let you know how to get your own copy of it. Reginald, thank you again for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Cyrus. It's a pleasure to be on your show this morning. Thanks.
Okay, look, I appreciate the time. So, Reginald, as I mentioned, so many times we hear things. I can say this because here on the radio side here in Mississippi, I'm the news director, so a lot of times I'm sharing stories throughout the week with our audience. And a lot of times, you know, we hear about these things happen, and we may say, oh, you know, I'm so sorry to hear that, and then we kind of move on. But you've been able to actually to live this yourself. This is your own personal journey. So I want to ask you, first of all, what has it been like for you to not only to be able to share this with the world, but also to see the way that people are responding to it?
It's, you know, first and foremost, it's been a long journey, I would say. You know, I guess I'm starting to see, like, the impact by, you know, by sharing my story, the impact that it's having and has begun to have on others. But, you know, it hasn't been easy, you know.
Right.
At the age of six, when my mother was brutally murdered, you know, that at that time, you know, you can only imagine that my life, my father's life, was flipped upside down. You know, and as a six-year-old, it's hard to really understand what really happened and what was going on. And it wasn't until maybe early teenage years, like preteen years, is when I finally discovered what really happened to my mother. And it was tragic, and it just been a life full of obstacles and challenges, to
right.
say the least.
Right. The vulnerability in this book, Reginald, is really something I think anyone can feel. And I think anyone who's had any type of trauma, you know, a lot of times, Reginald, I think you can relate to this on a personal level. We hear a lot about PTSD, right? And we think normally about individuals who've gone to war, who have, you know, been in some type of battle, maybe even been in an accident, and they have that trauma. But you, when I was reading this book, I thought to myself, you know, we definitely could see glimpses of PTSD that you experienced. What was that like for you to reflect on how, you know, not only, of course, dealing with the death of your mother, but also the fear and uncertainty about what was to come?
You know, that, you know, I'll pause for a minute because as I reflect, you know, that affects me even as a adult with a family. You know, I can recall just in my early childhood years after my mother passed, I was so frightful and fearful that when my dad would leave the house when I was at an age where he maybe had to step out to a business meeting of some sort and leave me at home alone, I was always fearful that he would never come home, you know, and that followed me for years, you know. And I also recall that when I first met my girlfriend, now wife, I explained to her briefly of what happened and what my, you know, what my upbringing was like. And I say, listen, if, you know, it's not that I'm a control freak or that I want to know where you're at 24/7. But I was like, look, if you happen to go out, and, you know, we were young, you know, but I was like, if you happen to go out or whatever, that's fine. Just let me know when you've made it home, you know, because that tragedy continue to follow me, because I'm a real life example of my mother went out and never came home.
Right. Yeah. And I think that is the other side of this too, Reginald. And I was thinking as I was prepping for this segment, and again, I want to thank you for the courage of not only writing the book, but also having these conversations. I know this cannot be the easiest of things to do, because even as you shared, and even you, in the latter part of the book, you kind of acknowledge this as well, that, you know, there is, you know, some things just stay with us, right? I mean, that's some things we will forever have to deal with. So I want to ask you, why did you decide to share it? Why did you decide that, in spite of everything, the feelings, why did you decide that your story needed to be told?
You know, ironically, I wasn't an avid reader growing up, right? So it's kind of ironic that I actually wrote a book. But in the year of 2021, you know, I got a strange call. I say strange, but it was a moment that shocked me. It shocked my family, and it was prefaced as a courtesy call. And it was from law enforcement in Louisiana. And the call detailed that my dad was indicted for second-degree murder of my mother. Now, this is over three decades later. You know, we have moved on with our lives, never forgotten her, but we've moved on. And I get this call, and again, my life was flipped upside down. Time stopped. And, you know, at that point, you know, all my life, I have been navigating, you know, different challenges and continue to persevere and move forward. And I was like, at that point, I had to find a way to continue to move forward and make progress despite a new challenge that I was presented with. So I decided, I said, you know, when that news broke, you can imagine, like, the media, it was flooded with negativity, flooded. You know, I was reading horrible things that were written about my father, you know, about years of suspicion, et cetera. And I was like, how can I at least turn this into somewhat of a positive? So that's when I took the pen, opened the laptop, and just started crafting my story. I said, you know what, because right now everyone is looking at it one-sided, so I wanted to take that opportunity to share my side of the story.
Gotcha. And do you think, Reginald, as I mentioned in my introduction, and again, I know, even though I don't think people mean to, I really, you know, I try to look for the good in people. So many times, unfortunately, we live in a world where the sensationalistic things are almost treated like entertainment. You know what I mean? I mean, when people are sharing things, and did you see this, and, you know, and then, and without any context sometimes, also without any thought of those are people on the other side of that story, did you have those moments as well of feeling as if what had happened to your family had been reduced to not only just a headline, but also just something else to talk about?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I can recall unfriending a few individuals, a few people that I quote, air quotes here, that I thought were my friends, just sharing the story, like sharing it on Facebook, you know, and I was like, well, that, you know, I get it, right? But I don't share anything, you know, unless it's positive, but something of this nature. And you're so-called my friend, why would you share it?
Right.
You know, why would you share it? Why would you make comments on it? And we grew up together. We, you know, we played, you know, football in the streets together, you know, and so forth. So, yes, I've experienced that. And most recently, just from strangers, you know, I wrote an article that was published in Newsweek magazine, and the title was, you know, how I continue to maintain a relationship with my mother. I'm sorry, with my father, just despite the murdering of my mother, right? Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of backlash from strangers across the world, you know, just like, how, you know, like, just looking at the title, right, without
right.
even reading the article, they just passed judgment, like, how could you do such a thing? I would never talk to him again and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you guys not even reading the article. You know,
right.
y'all don't understand. A lot of people don't understand that my dad raised me.
Right.
He raised me. I wasn't raised in foster care. I wasn't raised by another family member. I wasn't raised by grandma or grandpa. My dad raised me. So it's a very complex and interesting dynamic that I chose and story that I chose to share.
Yeah. And in reading the book, and I definitely encourage people to please read it, because I think the thing is, Reginald, as you were just talking just now, the thing that stood out to me is the phone calls with your dad, and one of them where you tell him to bring you an icy, and different times it was different things, and you saying in the book, you know, you would never get those things, right? But just the idea of thinking not only, of course, about what happened to your mother, but also what would happen, you know, something if the other shoe dropped, as you put it in the book, and, you know, you're having to deal with another loss. And that brings up the issue of fear. So I want to talk about that because, you know, we as men sometimes we don't talk about this enough. What do you hope especially men understand, Reginald, about the importance of not only letting our feelings be known, but being willing to not only acknowledge the fear, but also to address it?
You know, that's thanks for the question. But that's one of the main reasons I just kind of stepped out and just decided to lead by example, because a lot of men, you know, especially African American men, you know, and not to pigeonhole this response, but just men in general are afraid to show emotion.
Yeah.
You know, we walk around and, you know, tough guy, Superman, you know, and just afraid to just express it and show it. And everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. It could be a good story, it could be a bad story or what have you. But in today's time, day and time, we all know that everybody's sharing the good stories. If you take out your phone right now, look on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, everybody's sharing that good story. Somebody's on the beach. Somebody's doing this. Somebody's at a concert, you know. But that's not real life. Real life is what I'm sharing. This happens. This really happens. And I think the mechanism of depression is not talking about your trauma. Like,
right.
I think that's a core, you know, cause of depression, because you don't talk about it. And me writing my book, my memoir, sharing my story, talking to people, that has been such a cathartic process and a healing mechanism for me, you know, just to talk about it. You know, that's a part of healing and overcoming. So I encourage, you know, just men, just, hey, you know, share your stories. You know, look, not to sound cliche, but it's okay to cry. We're
yeah.
all humans,
right.
Man or woman. We're all humans. It's okay to be sad. That doesn't make you weak. It actually makes you stronger, because you're acknowledging it. You're acknowledging your shortfalls. You're acknowledging, you know, the shortcomings of your life, or your not so good experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is it. Do you think because of what you've been through, Reginald, that has made you more empathetic about life in general when it comes to others?
It has. And Cyrus, to be honest, it has made me more empathetic, but it also has made me, I guess, kind of develop into a no-nonsense type of character. And what I mean by that is, like I just shared, you know, everybody has their own set of challenges, some worse than others. And I feel, I believe that, you know, if I was able to be raised from humble beginnings, I know everybody's situation is different. I was raised from humble beginnings, you know, dealt with a significant tragedy early on in life, dealt with another tragedy on the back end of my life, but continue to persevere, you know, and show resilience and navigate through life as a just a normal person and build on top of those bad experiences. I believe that anyone can do it. I truly believe that because, you know, a lot of the time we idolize the superstars, you know, the less than one percenters, you know, and that's one thing I want to emphasize. I'm a regular person. You know, I'm not a movie star, not a superstar athlete. You know, I'm just a regular person that built a successful career just by foundational hard work, just hard work, grit, and just setting intermittent goals to make it to the next step in life.
Yeah. You also, though, you wrap up the book by talking about how fatherhood has changed you and given you purpose. Can you talk to us about that, Reginald?
Yeah, you know, for some time, I was the only child growing up. My dad never remarried. I had other siblings after that. They came after that. But when our first child was born, our son, you know, it gave me the opportunity to look through the lens of two people, as a father, as my father, and also as that six-year-old boy that was fighting that trauma over three decades ago. And I say that because, you know, my son's four, but just to see how he interacts with his mother and just his, you know, me being his father, I just continue to envision how I was at that time. But it has made me, I think, a better father just by acknowledging the things that I wish I had, you know, growing up, you know. And it's not, you know, the tangible thing. It's more the emotional things. You know, one thing I talk about in my book, and I'll share this, is a topic, a chapter called You Know I Love You. You know, that's what I heard growing up from my father. You know I love you. And just the tweak in that statement by just saying I love you makes a magnitude of difference.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know I love you, like assuming, right, versus I love you. And that's something that stuck with me over the years. And that's one thing I think about every single day. When I tell my son, you know, when I show, you know, compassion and love for him, I say, I love you. I never say, you know, I love you, and I never will.
Wow. Well, I think, you know, that is the thing I think that so many people can resonate with, again, Reginald, and why this conversation is so important, and why, again, I commend you on not only writing the book, but also discussing it. I know it could not have been easy. You know, part of it is difficult to read, of course, because it is something so personal to you when it comes to your mother and realizing someone having to go through that, right, and to see what you've been able to see and hear the things you've heard, but also now to be able to share with us the importance of these conversations is really something I commend you on. Again, everyone, Reginald R. Reed, Jr. has been our guest. The book is The Day My Mother Never Came Home. You can get it, of course, through our friends at Amazon.com. Order it from there. But, Reginald, you have a website set up as well. Let our audience know how they can stay connected with you.
Yes. My website is rlreed.com. You can visit my website to just and subscribe to keep in touch, stay current on what's going on and how my story is impacting others across the world. And that's rlreed.com.
Yeah. All right. Well, Reginald, again, thank you for stopping by the program. Really appreciate it and look forward to having you back on the show in the future.
Thank you, Cyrus.
You're more than welcome, and we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live, and it's going to make today amazing. Take care.